leaveth me.
Oh, blessed thought. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm glad I know something about His leading. I love that song. Man, that blessed my soul. I'm glad the Lord, I know what it is to have a shepherd. I'm not wandering aimlessly, but I have a shepherd, and He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Amen. I appreciate the privilege of being here. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us to come, and we have certainly enjoyed being with you and your folk again this year. I've been praying about what the Lord wanted me to preach tonight, and He has led me to go to Isaiah chapter number 50. Isaiah chapter 50. And I want to look at just one verse, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 10. You're in those pages, turn, and you turn right there and keep your Bible open. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 10. Now let's stand together, if you're able to stand, in reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord, and then remain standing for prayer. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I want to thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being here in the house of the Lord tonight. What a blessing it is to sing the songs of Zion and heard, Lord, these wonderful musical instruments, Lord, lauding the praises of our God. We bless Your name, Lord, for this church and for this dear man of God, this pastor. I ask You, God, to keep Your hand on him, Lord, that supplies needs and meet the needs of this church and this people, God, and stir their hearts. And Lord, rally the troops, Your troops, Lord, to get the job done. God, I ask You, God, to help me now as Your servant, as we come to expound the good Word of God. May the power of God be on us. May the message go forth, energized by Your Spirit. Yes. Minister grace to the hearer. And we'll praise You for all that's done. In Jesus' blood-stained name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Isaiah surely fulfilled verse number 4 when he wrote verse 10. In verse number 4, he was asking the Lord to help him to be able to have the tongue of the learned, that he should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And here in verse number 10, we find a bunch of weary folk. And these folk are weary, weary of walking in darkness. And I want to preach tonight on this subject, children of light, walking in darkness. Children of light, walking in darkness. Now let's get right to the text for the exposition. First of all, I want you to notice the people addressed in this text. The people addressed here. Now, the Bible says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that walketh in darkness? Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Well, who are the people addressing? Those that fear the Lord. These are saved folk. The Old Testament term, those that fear the Lord, is a designation of those that are trusting in Him and reverence Him and those that know Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and also the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the Old Testament designation of a saint of the Lord. Well, one of the New Testament designations of a child of God is that we are children of light. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 8 has that caption for the people of God. Also, Paul wrote of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, that we were not children of the night, but children of the day.
Amen.
So here we have children of light, and they're saved folk. So the people addressed in this text are not a bunch of lost people. These are saved folk. You need to get that nailed down about this text because it'll help you. These are not lost people that are addressed in this text. These are saved folk. And number two, not only are they saved folk, but they are surrendered folk. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant? These are not backslid, cold, rebellious people of God. These are humble, obedient servants of the Lord. They are surrendered people of God. They believe His gospel. They keep His word. They are obedient. They are surrendered servants. That's who they are. So get that nailed down. The people addressed in this verse are saved folk. And secondly, they are surrendered folk. This isn't this backslid in and out, up and down, on and off crowd, here and there, and jumping everywhere, and never there when you need them, and my friend have to get the FBI out to find out where they're gone. This is saved folk. This is surrendered folk. Get that nailed down about this text. And you'll need it as you go further into this message tonight. Not only the people addressed in this text, but number two, the problem acknowledged in this text. What is the problem? Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Wait a minute. Saved folk? Walking in darkness? Surrendered folk having to walk in darkness? How can this be? Brother, this text is very clear of a problem that is acknowledged here. The problem is, number one, there are times of dark paths. Walking in darkness. Now let me hasten to say that this darkness is not a reference to the darkness of sin, nor the reference to the darkness of unbelief. But the darkness described here is the darkness of trouble and trial and tribulation. It is a darkness of providential testings that come in our faith. But when God sends things to test our faith, He does not send them to destroy our faith, but to develop our faith. And so they are times of dark paths. And then secondly, they are times of dull perception. Who is among you that walketh in darkness? And then He makes the statement, and hath no light. You can't get a handle on it. You can't explain it. You don't know why the reason is for it. There's no answers. And we often are saying why. And sometimes God is silent. And we find ourselves in dark valleys, and we don't even know, not only not know the answers, we don't even know what questions to ask sometimes. And we can't seem to get a handle on what's going on. We find ourselves at times when we just can't get any light. But wait a minute, who's experiencing this? Who is experiencing this? This is not lost folk. These are saved folk. These are surrendered folk. And yet they have found themselves in a terrible plight. They found themselves in a problematic situation in their life. Times of dark paths and times of dull perception. But then I want you to know about this darkness is that you need to know this, that darkness, the darkness of trials and testings and tribulations and heartaches and heartbreaks, it is a fact of Christian experience. Hey, some of God's best people have walked through the darkest, deepest valleys there is. One of the greatest men of the Old Testament was Job. And man, how he was tried. But he kept his integrity and his faith in God.
Hallelujah.
Darkness is a fact of Christian experience. Just being saved and surrendered don't mean you're going to escape it. A. Darkness may be in the physical realm. Yeah, you might get sick. Well, hey, there's some of these Johnny-come-lately crowd out there, these religious racketeers that are selling people a bunch of goods and saying, boy, you name it, claim it, you don't ever have to be sick. Just go for your healing. Believe God for your healing. Well, I believe God can heal, and I believe there's healing in the house of God, and I believe James chapter 5, and we anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, and we pray as well as do what we can for them. But I want you to know, brother, I don't believe in divine healers. I do believe in divine healing. Amen. Say amen right there. But I would say, brother, that sometimes the darkness comes to the life of some of God's best people. They get sick. It happens. And don't let that crowd tell you, well, if you're sick, you're backslid.
Yeah.
If something bad happens to you, what kind of sin have you done? These folk wasn't sinning. These folk were surrendered. They were obedient. These were saved folk.
Yeah.
So sometimes darkness hits in the physical realm. Preacher, I just turned 65.
Congratulations.
August the 14th.
Woo!
And I got something didn't think I'd ever get.
Yeah, I know what that is.
I got a Medicare card.
Happy card.
And if Obama don't bankrupt us, I'm going to use it to get my knees replaced. But I got a feeling I won't ever make it. So we done bankrupt. But let me just say this, and if that bothered you, just have to be bothered. I'm from the South.
Yeah, rebel.
But, hey, darkness comes physical. Hey, and don't let some of this crowd say you're backslidden because you have afflictions. Because you're in a wheelchair. Or because you've had a stroke. Or because you've got cancer. Or because you're having a hard time physically tasting. Well, you must be back. Some of that crowd make you think you're backslidden on God. But brother and sister, I want to tell you, some of God's best people go through deep, dark trials. Darkness may come in the physical realm. And you know, some of this crowd that thinks, acts like, well, you'd be wrong for you to be sick, you'd be backslid if you stay sick. Well, if I had that kind of attitude, and those thoughts, I'd hate to ever die. Because most people that die get sick before they die. And I don't want to die backslid, so amen. You'll get it in a minute. It may be in the physical realm.
Yeah.
Preacher, sometimes darkness comes in the financial realm.
Yeah.
Not all of God's people are having it easy. Many of the saints are the poor. Poor saints having it hard. They've got many folk, good hard workers, having a hard time finding jobs and making ends meet. Some of that name it, claim it crowd, oh, said, man, if you'll send this money as a seed, you can just reap the dividends. I remember Roy Goodson, I may have told this before, an old evangelist in about 86, 87 now. And he'd been preaching a lot of meetings in different places, and he was riding home late one night and trying to keep awake, and he was turning through the radio dial, and he finally came on this guy, and he was, you know, he's a preacher, and he was just listening to him, and this old boy was making an appeal, and he was saying, now if you'll just send, said, if you'll just send to get this prayer cloth, and said, if you've got financial problems, said, just take that prayer cloth and lay it over that pocketbook and watch God. Just send, amen. If you've got to see, just take and get that prayer cloth and just lay it on it. And he went on and made all this, you know, appeal. And so he got done with his program and he said, now, ladies and gentlemen, before we go off the air, we really need to hear from you. said, if we don't hear from you, said, we're going to have to go off the air. Said, please send us in some help financially. And Brother Roy said, I know he couldn't hear me, but I rolled down my window and I hollered as loud as I could, use your old backslid prayer cloth. But sometimes financial difficulties hit all of us. I know some churches that have been decimated because of whole mills and plants shutting down and just leaving, and missionary programs, you know, and sometimes that happens. I mean, listen, friend, God gives us power to get wealth. You need to realize that God gives us power to get wealth, and He didn't promise that we'd all be wealthy here.
That's right.
I said here. But yonder where I'm headed, I'm telling you what they're fighting over down here, I'm going to walk on up there. Hey, brother, the cheapest thing in glory is gold. Say amen right there. You don't pave with the expensive items. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, I'm headed that way. But darkness may come in the financial realm. Oh, that's a fact. And it happens to good people, godly people. And just because you live for God, and even if you tithe, and God did say He'd open up windows and give you, and I believe in tithe, and I believe in it, I've practiced it, and I've seen it, amen, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread, and I believe God honors them that honor Him, but it don't mean it's going to be a bed of roses, and you're going to always have a bunch of money in the bank. God may just keep you broke all the time and just send it in like He did that old widow woman down there at Zarephath.
Amen.
That old widow woman down there at Zarephath, when Elijah showed up to town, and he met her and asked for her for a little bit of water to drink. Well, it was already a drought for three years, and she was going to fetch you some water. He said, "Fetch me a little morsel to eat." And she said, "Thy maidservant had nothing to eat but just a handful of meal and a little oil in a cruse, and I'm taking two sticks to make the last meal for me and my son that we might eat it and die."
That's
tough. Boy, that wasn't much of a biscuit, two sticks to cook it. But he said, "Go and prepare me a little bit first."
Yeah.
"And then ask, amen. And then after that, make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail."
Yeah.
So she believed. She anchored her faith on the promise of Jehovah.
Amen.
"As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not but a handful of meal." She knew Jehovah was alive.
Amen.
And he said, "Go make for thee." So she goes and she gets to her meal barrel, and my friend, and she reaches down, and you'd think, you know, since God gave a promise that she'd had it all the way up. But she reached down, didn't feel nothing. She didn't feel nothing, and checked it all out and felt scraped all the way around the corner and got a little old bitty bit, a handful of meal right there. And then she got out the little cruse of oil and she turned it up, nothing come out, turned it up, nothing come out. Finally just dropped out a few drops of oil and made a biscuit, cat head. Took it to the man of God. Amen. You've got to put God first. When you put God first, God will take care of you.
Amen.
Took it to the man of God, and he said, "Now go make for thee and thy son." And I'm sure on the way back to the house, I'm sure the devil said, "Boy, that preacher has robbed you. He stole from you. He's going to get your $30. Y'all awake, Heritage?
Yeah.
I'm sure the devil did, because hey, I'm sure she said, "Boy, that preacher done took your son, you and your son. He's a religious racketeer." But she got to the house. She said, "Well, I might as well just check it one more time."
Yeah, come on.
And she got down there. Yeah. And she fell around, didn't feel nothing. And then all of a sudden, you hear something out of the bottom of the barrel and said, "Hallelujah! I got another handful."
Well.
Praise God. She got that cruse of oil. Turned it up, whatnot. And then it started pouring out. Hallelujah! I got some more oil. And the Bible said, and she and he and her house,
yes, sir,
did eat many days.
Right.
Amen. She and he and her house. Now, hey, brother, didn't say she and he and Elijah. But she and he at her house. I believe the next morning, my friend Elijah laying up in the loft asleep, heard, "Hallelujah! I got another handful! Time to get up. Breakfast is served." And
every day, morning, noon, and night. There was glory. I have a message I preach on glory in the kitchen. Glory in the kitchen.
That's good.
I just imagine I'm running this rabbit, but he feels pretty good.
Yeah, help yourself.
I'm after this rabbit. One day she hears. She goes to the door. Here's a fella starved, slapped to death. Can hardly walk. Ma'am, have you got just a crumb? I haven't eaten in weeks. I've been to every house on the street and nobody's got nothing. But they tell me there's shouting going on down here. Well, sir, I got out the last handful today. And I can see his head drop. But wait a minute. Come on in here and sit down at my table. She goes back. Amen.
Well,
yeah.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Don't feel nothing over there. Don't feel nothing over there. Don't feel...
Woo! Got another handful and poured out that oil. Hey! And got some other oil. Hey, and she and he, hey, I'm telling you what, that place became a soul-saving station. As they come in, I believe, bless God, God fed the whole crowd that come into the house. There's bread in the house of God. There's bread in the house of God. If widow women and women, bless God, have just find God and put Him first.
See, I don't believe that's the reason you don't get blessed. You don't believe me. But sometimes, you know, we just have to get, we run out. And sometimes God just, I mean, He could have given her a whole, He could, but sure enough, He could have filled the barrel full, and when she rubs her arm down in it, it could have been flour from up there. But what He gave her was an undiminished handful.
Amen.
And did you know what I found out over most of the years of my ministry? That has been where I have been.
Yeah.
I mean, never an abundance, never money in the bank until recently in these last years. But then, always just another handful. I'd make a step and how am I going to meet that need? And just somehow, there'd be another handful waiting. And boy, you see it. And I was living for God and loved God. God didn't have my bank account full. And I didn't have the best cars, the best clothes. And I had food to eat. And I had joy. And I had peace in serving God. But my friend didn't have a lot of money. But every time I needed, God would send it in. And hallelujah. Darkness happens. It's a fact. Sometimes the darkness might be in the mental realm. Mental realm. Don't you jump on somebody because they get depressed or
right,
down in the dumps. Well, you don't know what kind of load they're carrying.
Right.
And by the way, a lot of the... Can I tell you that... I got to say this. I told y'all this before. A lot of the depression that it goes on and by the way, it is epidemic in our land.
Yeah.
I really believe personally... I believe it's... There's several causes. I know there is a cause... I know the demonic depression has taken place, or oppression's taken place a lot. But I believe a lot of it's just chemicals. And they've altered genetically altered our food and the pollutants and all this stuff. And over the years, and man, I mean you see little kids 11 years old now, girls completely, I mean, they've been eating chicken on steroids and... My wife calls them Dolly Parton chickens. That's just a... You can explain that to young people tonight, all right? Move on. I need to move on. But I mean, some of these... Honestly, I got a hold of a chicken leg the other day, and it was like a turkey leg. And these things, I mean, they're feeding it, they pump this stuff in it, and it gets in our system, and a lot of this depression really is a chemical reaction in the brain, and your brain is a physical organ, and man, you put wrong kind of stuff in there, you can get messed up, even if you're saved and living for God, and sometimes God's people go through depression. One of the greatest preachers who's ever been on this earth Charles Haddon Spurgeon. They wrote a whole book on the depressions of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. They said he'd get so down he could not even function. Great, great man of God. Brother and sister, I don't know why God would allow such as that to come, but I'm going to trust Him to do what's right. But what I'm saying to you, hey, just because you're saved and living for God, it's not going to mean that you're going to escape these things.
Right.
Because sometimes children of light are walking in darkness and have no light. This darkness might come even in the spiritual realm. Have you ever got to a place where it seems like the heavens were brass and you couldn't get a prayer through and you try to study and get something fresh and you couldn't seem to get anything fresh and boy, you just, a spiritual darkness settled in on you. What I'm telling you is darkness is a fact of Christian experience. But number two, darkness is a discipline of Christian character. God lets us go through darkness to learn humility, to put no confidence in the flesh. He don't want us to strut. He wants us to trust Him and give Him the glory. God puts us through darkness so we can learn to trust Him and surrender to Him. And then darkness is a means of spiritual discovery. Because it's in those dark places where we can't that we find God shows up and He can.
That's good.
I'm glad God butts in. And you but God. I like it when God butts in and takes over. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, there's been times when I have been so up against it, I could not figure a way, and I did not know how a way was going to come. You know, there's so many things that's happened in my life in the darkness, man, I didn't know how I was going to make it. But God always came through. I don't know if I told this before. I don't want to go back through all of it again. When I was here, I preached all over the place, and I can't remember what I preached here and there, but when I first started preaching, my wife was expecting our first child. We were living in a little house that, for the rent, I had to keep up an apartment complex and cut the grass for the rent of the house. And my wife was working at Community Cash, but she got so big she couldn't reach the cash register. She'd kill me if she knew I said that. Don't you tell her. And I was getting ready to go back to school. I was in Fruitland Bible Institute there in Hendersonville. And I didn't have money for the school. I didn't have insurance for the baby. But I was trying to live for God, trying to serve God. And my pastor that week called me at 4:30 in the morning and said, "Brother Rudy..." "Yes, Pastor." "Brother Rudy, I want you to come out here and finish this meeting. I'm in revival meeting, and I've had a death in the church. I need to come home, but I feel like God wants you to come out here and finish this meeting." I said, "Okay, Brother Curtis, and where you at?" He said, "Well, I'm in Houston or Pasadena, Texas." "Texas? I ain't got enough money to get to Asheville." He said, "Brother Rudy, you stop by the house and I'll give you a check for a round trip ticket to Houston, Texas. And so you just go ahead." And I said, "Okay, brother." So I hollered at my wife and I said, "Hun, pack my suit." I didn't have but one. And she packed me a suit, one suit coat and a pair of dress pants and three pair of green underwear. She had washed something with my underwear, and I went to Texas with three pair of green underwear. I'm telling the truth, that's really. So I go to my praying partner, old Raymond Geis. He's in his 80s now, and in a rest home. And I went to Brother Raymond. I said, "Brother Raymond," I said, "Brother Curtis wants me to come out there and preach a meeting." And God moved on his heart to give me $50. But he was stingy and wouldn't give me but 25. And he gave me 25, and his wife went around on the other side and gave me another 25, so I still got 50.
Yeah. Hallelujah!
So now, I've got the piggy bank out and dunked out all the change, so I've got a pocket full of change. I've got $50 that Brother Guy said his wife gave me. I stop by the pastor. He gives me the money for the ticket. And now I've got to do something. My daddy's a lost man, and he has hired me for the week to try to make some money before I went back to school. But he's a lost man, and I knew I was going to have to confront him. I knew he was going to cuss me. And I went in that morning and said, "Dad, I got to go preach." And he did just like me. He didn't disappoint me. I said, "I don't care, Dad. I appreciate you working me, but God's called me to preach, and I got to go." And I was in there telling these people, and they were all talking about me going to Texas, and they got to talking Texas. Well, I got on the phone and called Asheville Airport trying to make a reservation, and no reservation. I tried every airline I could think of. Nobody would give me a reservation. Nobody would give me a reservation to go. So I went out and found me a pine thicket at this old asphalt plant, got down on my knees, and I said, "God, if you don't get me on that plane a reservation, I ain't a going." Now, I know better than to do that now. I was young. Now, this is before I was ever a pastor. And I was 21 years old. And this might have been reckless, but I prayed that way. And I went in there and dialed up the phone. And I made a reservation. And the reservation I made, I had made a reservation for Dallas. Some of the guys were in there talking about Dallas. Instead of saying Houston, I said, "Dallas. Yes, sir. We got you confirmed. Right here it is." Gave me a confirmation number. Hey, praise God, I'm going to Texas to preach. Now, I'm just 21 years old and dumb as a box of rocks, but I'm going to Texas. And so, now I'm going somewhere with this. So I go, Raymond goes with me. He takes me in my one suit and 3 pair of green underwear, and I head to the airport. And we walk up to that counter. I'll never forget it, walking up to that counter. And I said, I walked up there I said, "Ma'am, my name is Rudy Smith." And I made a reservation this morning for flight so-and-so. She said, "Ha!" She said, "That flight's been booked up for 2 weeks. One of these camps out here got that thing booked slapped up." I said, "Ma'am," she said, "there ain't no way you made no reservation." I said, "Ma'am, they confirmed me. Here's the number." She said, all right, I'll check it." And she punched it in, and the woman jumped back from that computer screen and said, "Well, sir, you are on there." So all I can say is, the computer made a mistake. At this time, old Raymond, guys, he's an old mountain preacher. He got the roll of his shoulder and said, "Computer, my foot, that's God." You know what I believe happened? I believed in the glory world. I believe that God said, "Computer angel, come here. Go down and get my boy on that plane." And boy, I'm telling you what, so we flew to Atlanta. You know, anywhere you go from the south, you got to go through Atlanta. Even if you go to heaven, you got to go through Atlanta just about. I mean, really. And so I fly from Atlanta, and I get to Dallas-Fort Worth. At that time, it was the largest, I think, airport in the world, Dallas-Fort Worth. And I got in that great big old airport. All I got is the man's name, Wilburn Ansley, and the name of his church, Trinity Baptist Church, Pasadena, Texas, is all I knew. And I paged him, and I paged him, and I paged him, and I paged him. And I'm telling you what, this little old boy that strutted up to the counter felt like, I felt as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And I just didn't know what to do, and I collared and had him paged Wilburn, I had paged Wilburn. So I said, "Well, I'll just go get me a haircut." Now back then we could get a haircut at home for 75 cents. Man, that's good. Them were good old days. Yeah. And I went to that airport and I got a haircut. And I'll never forget it. The guy cut one side burned up here, one side burned down like that. I felt like I had to walk like that and charged me $3.50 for a backslid haircut when I could get it for $75,000. So wait a minute now. That $50 has gone down to $46.50. I'll never forget this. This actually happened, folks. This is the true story. It happened just like this. Now, y'all pardon me, but back yonder I used to sing country music before I got saved, and we used to sing country music, and I had a band and all that. You would never know it, but I walked out of there, and back yonder, this was way back yonder, so I was 21, I'm 65, y'all do the math, that was a long time ago, 44 years ago. And I was walking out there, and I was with that backslid haircut, and I did this, I said, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. It dawned on me. I'm supposed to go to Houston. I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth. I get out. Now, y'all give me a little bit of benefit. It was 4:30 in the morning, bless God, when I got the call. So I got that pocket change out and robbed the piggy bank and had enough money to make a long-distance call to my pastor. And I said, Brother Kurt, where you at, boy? I'm in Dallas. What? That preacher's down there been calling me, looking for you. He's over at the airport. You ain't there. I said, Brother, tell him I'm going to try to get there. I checked. I couldn't get a train that would get me there in time. I couldn't get a bus that would get me there in time. And I'm like man, I'm walking around like a suck-egg dog. I'm in trouble. And I walk over there to Braniff International Airlines. And I go up to the counter and I said, ma'am, what would it cost me to fly one way from here to Houston? She said, well, tax, title, everything. Said, that'll be, guess how much? $46.50. I mean, to the penny. I got down there, that preacher. We got in a meeting. God failed. Great big old church. My soul. I had all kind of folk get saved. Kept me nearly 2 weeks down there. Went to another. And hey, they took an offering, paid for the baby hospital. Prayed for my schooling. Hey, brother, sent back everything I need. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, God, let me go through the darkness of difficulty to find out that He's a God that can spread a table in the wilderness. It's the most dark times that you have a means of spiritual discovery. Let me get back to the text. I run all them rabbits. Last night, y'all ain't got work tomorrow, do you? Well, praise God, it's just 9:05. Y'all with me? All right, let me go to... All right, we've looked at the people addressed in this text, the problem acknowledged in this text, but number three, and I end with this, the prescription advised in this text. What you going to do? If you're a child of God, living for God, best you can, and you find yourself in darkness, walking in darkness, what are you going to do? Well, it's right here in the text. And it says, here's what you need to do. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. The prescriptive advice of this text is twofold. Number one, there is a person to trust and there is a name to learn. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. What's in a name? Name reveals character. I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said about this text. He said, when thou canst not see thy way, then open this book and try to find out what sort of God it is in whom thou dost trust. Yeah. We're not trusting in some man-made statue. Hey, brother, we're trusting in God. In the name of God. Boy, just think. I wish I had time. This is a whole series of meetings right here. Well, but trust in the name. Some of the Old Testament names of God. Well, Elohim 2,570 times. First name for God in the Bible, Elohim. And it means the one who creates by His mighty power. Trust Him. He can bring it to pass. Trust Him. His name is called Jehovah 6,823 times. Most of the time, it is translated in our King James Bible as capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. It is the word Jehovah. And Jehovah means the self-existing one, the great I Am. And He is the I Am. He's whatever you need. Look at some of the compound covenant names. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He is Jehovah Rophika, the Lord our physician. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. You can march to victory. He is Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. He is the Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is or gives peace. He's Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, and I shall not want. Hey, brother, He is Jehovah Zitkanu, the Lord our right. Trust in Him.
Yeah.
Hey, trust in God. He's also called El Shaddai.
Yeah.
El Shaddai, El short for God, the mighty God. Shaddai is the word for breasted one. Literally, in translation, the one who nourishes and supplies, the many-breasted God. You can lean on His bosom for your need to succor what you need. He is God. And it is translated, "All I am Almighty God." Hey, He is God. He's called Adonai. That's the most time it's translated, capital L, little R-D. And Adonai is the word that means simply Lord, ownership, the sovereign one. Can I tell you He's Lord of the whole situation you're facing? Can I tell you He's sovereign? And can I tell you, like the old country preacher sang it down, His name is Jesus, and He knows what to do. I'm glad He does. Hallelujah. You can trust Him. You know, another word in Adonai, and then number five, El Zelion, the Most High God, that's Him. El Zoam, Zoam, the Everlasting God, that's Him. El Rohi, the All-Seeing God. Aren't you glad He sees? He knows. That's Him. You can trust in Him. That's who you need to trust in. Don't trust in somebody's man-made deity. Trust in the God of the Bible, the God of Revelation. You can trust God.
Amen.
That's what you need to do when you find yourself in our... Now, what about, you say, "Oh, brother, that's Old Testament. What about New Testament?" Well, just let me touch a few of them. 1 Peter 5:10, He's the God of all grace.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:3, He's the God of all comfort. Amen. In Romans 15:33, He's the God of peace. In Ephesians 1:17, the Father of glory. James 1:17, the Father of lights. 2 Corinthians 1:3, the Father of mercies. And He is our Heavenly Father. And I'm glad He knows what we need. And I'm telling you what, the Father will take care of His children. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God will take care of you. Amen. All right, I'm wrapping it up now. The prescription advised in this text, when you're walking in darkness, the saying of God, just trust in the name of the Lord. Not only is there a person to trust and a name to learn, but secondly, notice that He mentions a persistence in trusting and a need to lean. I'm back to the text now. Look at the last statement. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Stay upon His God. This word, stay upon His God, is suggestive, number one, of persistence. That is staying with God. Stay with it.
Amen.
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 Stay in the path. Stay in the fight.
Amen.
Don't lay down your sword. Don't run. Don't quit. Amen. Don't disqualify yourself.
Amen.
Stay with God, even when you don't understand. Even when you don't have the answers, you don't even know what questions are. Hey, and sometimes you get in things that just completely bug-fuzzle you. But listen at me. Don't ever doubt in the dark what God has showed you in the light. Just keep on a-walking and keep on a-trusting. And if you walk on somewhere down the line, you'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Hallelujah.
And then the word not only suggests persistence, but let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This word stay upon his God suggests a prop. You see, that prop is something to lean on. Lean on the stay. Let him stay. I went trout fishing and I've got so crippled I can't hardly maneuver the water. So I got me a stick, big old stick, a stay, to help me keep my balance and lean on in those slippery places. And that's what's in the, what he's saying here is you just need to learn when you're in the darkness to not lean on your own understanding. And the last verse is don't try to make your own sparks, but just lean on God. Just stay with God. Stay with your faith. Lean on the Lord. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Old Jacob bowed his head in Hebrews 11 and worshiped, leaning on his staff. Jacob hadn't always been a leaner. But boy, when he got to wrestling with God at Peniel and God touched him vitally and wounded him, I'm telling you what, the rest of his life, he had to have something to lean on. It reminded him of his encounter with God. I want to tell you what, when you can't figure out which way to go, just keep your faith in the Lord that saved you. Know that He is the Lord. He said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Just remember, He is the Lord. I am the Lord. That I change not. I'm God. And besides me, there is none other. I am the Lord. Trust in Him. So, there's my scattered southern message tonight. Rabbit running. I enjoy running them rabbits. Hallelujah. But I'm glad, praise God, that God can still help you if you just trust in Him. Let's stand our feet all over the house. We're going to have a little invitation. Sis, will you come back to the organ for just a moment? Is our organist still here? Oh, come on back to the organ. I'm sorry, sis. Give you a moment to get there. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And if you're not saved, you need to come to Jesus. I've preached mainly to the saved folk. But I'll tell you, Jesus loved you and gave Himself. He died on the cross for you. He rose again for you. He said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Come to Jesus. If you're not saved, ask Him to save you. If you are saved and you found yourself in darkness and you've almost felt like throwing up your hands and quit, I hope you've got a little encouragement from the message tonight. Let me tell you, stay with the stuff. Stick with your God. Trust in Him who's able to meet your need. I wonder, before we go any further tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, is there someone here? Say, Pastor Rudy, boy, I needed that message. I'm facing some darkness, and I don't know what to do. And I sure would appreciate your prayers. If you raise that hand, see that hand or the other, God bless you and you and you and you. God bless you. Father, help these folk minister in this service tonight. Meet the needs, everyone, in Jesus' name. While she simply plays tonight, whatever God's laid on her heart, if you need to come and just pray, put your knees, your prayer bones down this old altar, talk to God. You just come on. Just because you're in the darkness and going through dark paths don't mean that God's displeased with you. It don't mean that He's upset with you. He may be doing something in you to develop you. He put Job through what He put him through to get glory, maximum glory out of Job's life. Come and call on the Lord if you need to come. Come and seek His face. While she plays softly, our heads are bowed. These folk have come here to pray and seek God's face. Maybe you need to come, bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Cast your care upon Him. I began that with us on Wednesday night. And I ended it along the same line. You can cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. Get it off of you and get it onto Him. He can bear it. Trust in the Lord. Stay with God. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Keep your faith in Him. If you need to pray, come on.